We continue our brief series on prayer by looking today in the 19th chapter of 1 Kings, back in the Old Testament. And we'll read there verses 9 through 13. There Elijah went into a cave and spent the night. And the word of the Lord came to him. "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He replied, "I have been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, broken down your altars, put your prophets to death with the sword. I am the only one left, and now they're trying to kill me." The Lord said, "Go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by." Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. Then a voice said to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" May the Lord bless us a portion from his holy word. Last Sunday, I was finishing up a week of vacation, and Debbie and I were trying to figure out where we should go to church since we were back from our travels exploring. We went to Tennessee, first time I had ever spent any time in Tennessee. That was kind of fun. I still think Virginia's prettier, but that's, you know. And so we decided that, you know, a lot of good choices of where we could go to church, and they decided, you know what, I really like Darren's preaching. So we snuck in, sat in the back. I really like sitting in the back. I think I could get used to that. Do you mind if I just sat back there every Sunday? And enjoyed the worship service, got a lot out of Darren's sermon, and went home, and Debbie and I were having lunch together, and she says, "Darren did such a good job with that sermon, there's nothing left for you to say about prayer next week." I thought, well, thanks for the vote of confidence, Deb. But what I want us to do is to change our focus a little bit this week, because we have this bad habit of referring to prayer as conversation with God, and then treating it as if it is a monologue with God. You know, that we spend our time in prayer and we make sure we have the list of things that we want to say in our prayers. And there's some like to follow a nice formula where there's adoration and confession and thanksgiving and then supplication. And others just have a list of things that they want to be praying about. And we all do it in different forms and different ways. But we all have that tendency to treat prayer as a monologue. "Okay, God, here's everything I need to say to you today." And we go through that list. And we go, "Got it, Lord? Amen. Thank you." And we go on from there. But it is a conversation. And conversation, in order to work, needs to have two parties as the conversation goes on. There needs to be speaking, and there needs to be listening. As an old friend of mine said, God purposely designed us with one mouth and two ears. So prayer needs to be both sharing what's on our hearts, sharing what it is that we are thinking about and concerned about and just want to share with God, but it also needs to have that element of listening for God. Now I know that's hard for us, because you know, when we pray and we're expecting an answer and we need to know the direction to go or how to handle situation or what's going to happen, and there's a part of us that wishes that God would do things a little differently than he does. There's that part of us that wishes God would you know, maybe send a airplane by with a banner behind it saying, "Steve, this is what you need to do." Or a simple text or an email or a message on the answering machine. You know, we would love to have that kind of clarity, and we would love to have God speak to us in that loud, strong voice that we would be absolutely certain, absolutely convinced that this is what God is going to do, this is what God wants us to do. We look for those kinds of answers. And I think that Elijah was in one of those dark spots in his life. Obviously, things were not going the way that he planned. In the first case, he really didn't sign up for this job of being a prophet. It's something that he was called to do. And in the second place, nothing had gone the way he thought it should go. Fortunately, that never happens in any of our lives. But that's how it was going for Elijah. Everything that could go wrong did go wrong, and he's kind of escaped, and he's out in the countryside up in the hills, and he's having this conversation with God. He is praying, and he is telling God how things are. He said, the people you sent me to, the Israelites, they're not getting it. They're destroying the altars. They're doing all these things wrong, and they've killed all the prophets, and now I'm the last prophet left, and they're after me. Yep, not a good day for Elijah. And so he goes on and on about this, and God speaks to him and says, don't worry, I'm coming by. I'll be passing by you. And so Elijah is waiting for that, and then a strong wind comes up, and Elijah, in the back of his mind, you know, if he's anything like any of us, you know that when that wind came up, he was sure, okay, great wind, that must be God. God's going to be speaking to me through that great wind, and God's going to be right here in front of me and answer all my questions and take care of all my concerns. And God wasn't there. And then an earthquake happens. And again, Elijah had to be convinced that that was that. Okay, maybe it wasn't the wind. Maybe the wind was just to get me alert and ready to hear God speaking in the earthquake. But that's not where God was speaking to him. And then a fire. Hey, it worked for Moses. Why not for me? And he waited and expected God to speak in that fire, and not a peep. And then, after all those massive events, there's a certain stillness, a quietness, a whisper. And in that quietness, God spoke to Elijah. Now, that's important for us to hear and to understand, because we do wish that God would speak to us in loud volume and clear tones and ways that everybody around us would hear and see and understand. But oftentimes, listening to God in our prayers is being quiet. As the scriptures tell us, be still and know that I am God. And that God speaks to us more often than not in the quietness of our hearts, in that stepping aside from that litany of lists that we give to God, and just listening to Him speak to us, listening to Him being present in our hearts and in our lives. I think we've experienced that, haven't we? I think we've had those times in our lives where we've been praying about something and we feel this certain little nudge, this sense that I think I've got it. I think I know what I need to do. Or this certain sense of feeling a peace when we're in an anxious situation, a peace that goes beyond our understanding. I think we've experienced that. Allowing God to speak to us in the quietness of our hearts, in the quietness of those moments when we can step back from all of the hubbub and activity of this world and allow God to speak to us quietly in our prayers. But there's a couple of other things that happen here with Elijah that I think we need to notice. The first one is that Elijah gave God that list of everything that God was doing wrong. That's what he was doing. Let's be honest about it. You know, you gave me a job to do, God. You told me to go do this, and you told me to go do that, and nothing has worked out, so therefore I did my best, so it must be your part that failed. And what God is speaking to Elijah, if you listen carefully in this passage, is God is saying to Elijah, you didn't get it right. You're not the last one left. All is not doomed. All is not lost. You've got this all wrong. It goes on, if you follow on from the 13th verse there, it speaks about this whole situation and how there are others who are waiting for Elijah. But it was just this point that we often get in our minds that we know exactly how things are. And we know exactly how things ought to be, and we feel as if we pick up the little bell and we ring it, that God should come running and make it right. But sometimes our perceptions are wrong. Sometimes listening to God in our prayers is listening to God change our perceptions, change how we see things. That prayer isn't about us changing God's mind as much as it is sometimes about God changing our minds. But there's another element here that we really need to see, because this is probably the hardest one for us. And if you go on after the 13th verse, as I said, there's a whole story of this. And one of the things that happens is, as God is speaking to Elijah's heart, he says, here's what you need to do. Oh, we don't like this part. We really don't like this part. You know, we like the part where we take our list and litany to God and say, okay, God, here's all the things I'm concerned about, and here's all the things you need to be working on. Amen. Whew, glad that's over with. You got it now. I remember in my first church, I was talking with a woman in the congregation there who really had it on her heart to start this one particular group for a mission project that she was wholeheartedly interested in and wholeheartedly behind. And she said, well, I'm going to put something in the bulletin and I'm going to be praying about it, that God will touch people's hearts and get them to come to this meeting and we'll get started on this project. I said, okay, well, that's a good thing. Pray about it. We'll get an announcement out there. You can announce it from the pulpit on Sunday. And so we did that. And the week came, the week went. She went to the meeting. She was the only person there. And I said to her, when she was very discouraged and very heartbroken that nobody else came, I said, well, how many people did you talk to about it? Did you invite somebody, anybody, to come and join with you? Did you talk with anybody about this passion that you have on your heart for this project? She says, no, I prayed about it, and I trusted God to raise up the right people to get this done. Well, that's the problem for us sometimes. Sometimes when the way that God is speaking to us is that He puts on our hearts what it is that we are praying about. Not for us to give Him the litany of His to-do list, but instead for us to truly partner with God to accomplish that which is on our hearts, to be participants with God, to move through that particular situation. I'm sure that Elijah didn't want to hear that you got to leave the cave, buddy. You can't hide in that cave forever. Here's the list of what you need to do. Your prayers are answered. You're not alone. There's going to be some change is happening in Israel, and you're going to have a new assistant by the name of Elisha. You're going to, and I'm sure that wasn't what he wanted to hear. I would bet my bottom dollar that at that point in his life, Elijah would have liked to have just sat still in that cave and said, okay, God, it's back on you. But God was using his prayers, using the concerns that were on Elijah's heart to motivate him to do what needed to be done. You see, prayer is conversation. It's the give and take. It is that opportunity that we have to lay before God that which is on our hearts. But it's also that opportunity for God to touch our hearts and to motivate us to do his work, to live our lives in his will, to accomplish what it is that he has called us to accomplish. It is a wonderful conversation. It's not a monologue. It's a dialogue between God and us, between us and God. Would you join with me in prayer? Almighty and ever-loving God, how good it is to just be able to be in conversation with you, to be able to share our thoughts, to be able to share our joys and our concerns with you as a child to a loving father. Oh, Heavenly Father, thank you for that gift of prayer. But always, always, poke and prod us so that we remember to listen to you. Help us never to lift before you all of our joys and concerns and then to walk away as if the prayer is done. Help us to listen to you so that we might hear what it is that you need us to hear, so that we might do what it is you need us to do. We pray this all in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.